Hi guys, I'm Matt Harris, host of the HMO Experience Property Podcast. And in this episode of the podcast, I'm going to be chatting with my co-host, Jamie Medill, as we take a deep dive into communicating with a landlord when taking on their properties for rent to rent. Now, communication is the key to any relationship, whether it's communicating with your existing customers, tenants and housemates, or whether it's communicating with landlords and agents as you're proposing to take on their properties for rent to rent. If you're looking for some useful nuggets around rent to rent and discussing this strategy with a prospective landlord, or building trust and confidence in an existing landlord relationship, then this is definitely the episode for you. Some of the main topics that we'll be covering include managing your landlord relationships, considering your service offering, what additional services you could offer, pivoting your business, and communication tips with your landlord and your agent. At the end of this episode, make sure you visit the HMO Experience website by going to thehmoexperience.co.uk, where you can find show notes for this episode, as well as some free resources, including the 11 steps to running your successful HMO property business. And you can also sign up to our weekly newsletter. If you enjoyed this episode, please make sure that you hit the subscribe button so you'll always be the first to know when a new episode is released. Now that the intro is done, enjoy this episode. We are coming at you virtually because it is we're recording this during lockdown. Say hello to... Sorry, let me just... That's the wrong way around. Say hi, Jamie.
Hi, Matt. Hi, everyone.
So we are recording during lockdown. As you can see, we have some virtual images in the back. Obviously, the HMO Experience logo, which we got very excited about before we came on air, to the point where we were almost just going to call it a day simply because our work was done. But look, we are now on episode 34 of the HMO Experience. We are going to be discussing landlord services. So for the last few episodes, we've gone through a lot of sort of property management hints and tips in terms of pest control and maintenance and key locks or key management systems and that kind of stuff. We're going to pivot a little bit now and focus on service delivery, which obviously includes building your relationships with your landlord. Obviously we, both have different experiences of that. So we will share, what we have been doing to date. Hopefully that will help you guys, and see whether you can pick up some useful nuggets in that respect. You will also notice that there's only two of us. Steve is currently recording a video about planting some seeds in his garden. That's why he couldn't make it. Terrible. But you should watch out for Seeds with Steve. I think coming on social very soon. So for now, look, Jamie, I know obviously you guys have been up and running a lot longer than I have. So in terms of relationship building with your current landlords on the rent-to-rent side, I know you guys buy as well, but more particularly on the rent-to-rent side, what has your experience been to date? Like, how have you guys managed your existing relationships? Have you had any bad experiences? And then I guess I can chip in with a little bit as how to we manage relationships with our landlords as well.
Sure, cool, excellent. Thanks, Matt. And Steve, we do miss you. You get your hands dirty. don't blame you. Miss you. But the first thing I want to say before we dive into this is I want people listening and watching this episode to think about this from two different perspectives. The first is that some people want to do rent-to-rent HMO, and again, we've recorded loads of content on that, and you might want to consider this episode about some of the services that you could offer as a renter. So the other side of the coin too, many people who listen and watch these podcasts are also HMO owners. They actually own their own properties, and yes, they're renting out the rooms individually. So from that perspective, you might also want to watch and listen to this episode with a view to, if you're not managing your own properties, working with other agents who might be able to offer some of these services. And if they don't currently do it, maybe you can start the conversation with some of the tips we're going to give you now, so you can actually get basically what you want from service providers like agents or rent-to-rent operators who might want to work with you. So that's the first thing I want to say. So as Matt said, the key thing behind everything here is communication. You've got to be amazing at communication, because the reality is the majority of people that operate in this HMO space or letting agency space, for example, are not brilliant at communicators. Mm. They're only brilliant, in my experience, when there's a problem and they're asking for money.
Yeah.
So, apart from that, you never hear from them. The first bit is communicate a huge amount with potential clients you want to work with if you're doing rent or an HMO, and of course, potential landlords. So that's the key thing. Keep very, very good open communication and talk about what your offering is, because some landlords will be happy right from the get-go, and some agents, for doing guaranteed rent. That's the big headline that many rent-to-rent training companies talk about. However, there are going to be more people. Anecdotally, there's going to be more people. We've been, Steve and myself and you now, Matt, are helping more and more people do this business. However, the majority of people do not get a yes straight away. Mm-hmm. The majority of their marketing, there'll be lots of maybes. And it's the maybes that you might be able to convert. And that's what we're talking about in this episode. What are some of the other things you could do, you could offer to begin with to actually get them to be a paying client before ultimately offering them the top level, which could be rent to rent? Yeah. So I think really the key thing then is to talk about how can you differentiate and segment the different levels of service. When Steve and I first started, we only ever talked about guaranteed rent. Mm. And bearing in mind, from 2014 to about 2018, it was always guaranteed rent only. But in the last year or so, we've talked about doing some of these other services to try and get more people into our pipeline, into our client list, so we can not only provide better quality rooms, but also have more clients to work with and therefore have a more profitable a scalable business. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense, Matt?
Yeah, for sure. So I think that is it's a great shout, especially as you mentioned, rent to rent is a little bit daunting for not daunting, that's the wrong word. Is not very well received by a lot of agents. So to have a less intrusive, for want of a better expression, service offering which will open the door for you to, you know, building a relationship, A, with the agent, with the landlord, in the long run, will enable you to, to pick up rent-to-rent deals at the back end, but also like start to offer something which is a little bit more of a lower hanging fruit, which may not necessarily mean that, you know, you take on the property as a whole. But I think what you're going to lead into is to talk about specific services that you could offer to a HMO landlord, which, you know, once you start to offer two or three of those services, you can then encapsulate into, you know, wrapping it up into a rent-to-rent deal.
Yeah, Matt, you've read my mind.
Oh, God, I know.
Or maybe we planned this before. I don't know. One of the two. So I'm going to share some ideas now. And I want to, again, give huge credit to someone that that Steve and I in particular have known for many, many years. And she's a very smart woman. She is Jenny Fenton. She got married last year, went to an amazing wedding. So thank you for that, Jenny. Hope you guys are well. Actually, now Jenny Surtees. But Jenny, Steve and myself have been friends for many years. And Jenny was a traditional letting agent. She has a number of letting agencies under her belt. She operates in and around Bicester in Oxford. And Jenny taught Steve and I this concept. And I mean, you know, we were diehard guaranteed rent, you know, rent-to-rent operators for many years, as I said. And it was only Jenny really that introduced this concept to us as an opportunity to go and say, actually, you're missing out probably 80% of the people you could be offering something. It might not be your guaranteed rent service, but it might be something. And that our journey has been to start walking up her customers from a basic level of maybe tenant finance service all the way up to guaranteed rent. Mm. So huge shout out to Jenny. You're amazing. Thanks, Jenny.
Hi, Jenny.
Make sure that you get the credit. So this is what Steve and I have been doing over the last year or so, and you guys might want to think about this too, those of you listening or watching this episode. We've been thinking about what are the key pains that either agents or landlords have, and how can you actually provide a service that can help them. Mm. So one of the key things when it comes to HMOs is the overall view by many people, even experienced landlords, even experienced letting agencies, it could be hard work. So play on that and use that, because you know by working with Steve, Matt and myself, that we're giving you these inside way, the secret source, as it were, from our experience to make this easy for yourself. So let's play with their perceptions that it's going to be hard work having multiple people living in a property.
Mm.
So one of the services you could offer is, on the assumption that an agent might think, or landlord might think, it's hard work trying to find people to rent out their rooms in their houses, why do you offer that as a service? So we've already talked about advertising in previous HMO Experience podcasts. You know that we go onto various platforms. Matt mentioned a whole load. Steve and I have main experience with Spare Room, for example. Mm-hmm. But you know how easy it is when you know how to do your advertising and your marketing to get great quality people.
Yeah.
So maybe offer that as a service. And you could charge a flat fee for that. You could say, you know, if you're working with a letting agent, that the first tenant find service could be, I don't know, 50 quid a tenant, mm-hmm. for example. We're plucking figures out there here.
Sure.
It might be £100 a tenant. Whatever the fee is, it could be a stepping stone, a service that they perceive to be difficult and hard work, which you now know is going to be very straightforward. You could offer a service for that. And that could be your first toe in the water about providing a fee, a paid-for fee, with a brand new agent or landlord. So that could be one option. Another option could be like the next level up, could be doing house checks. You all know that typically you have to go and view your licensed HMOs every single week. So that's to do basic things, such as testing out the fire alarm, for example. So just making sure that all the exit routes, the corridors are clear of stuff blocking any routes. That's making sure that the actual fire doors are working and closing properly. All of those things which we've talked about in previous HMO Experience podcast episodes. That takes time, and it takes somebody on the ground to go and do that. Now, many agents are very used to doing single let management, and they might go and inspect once every 6 months, for example. So the whole weekly thing is going to be time consuming for them potentially. And also, you know, who they're going to get to do it. It's going to cost, they're going to pay someone to go and do that. So take away that potential problem or perceived problem that might have and offer that as a service. We charge £90 plus VAT for a weekly house check for someone who's literally asking us to go and do that. Now, we've already shared, Steve and I, with our rent-to-rent business in Bedford and now in Northampton and other areas too. We work with an amazing woman called Courtney, who's our property manager. She charges £10 an hour. Amazing. So you're charging the landlord 90 quid a week, or the letting agent, to go and do that service, which they perceive to be valuable and difficult and time-consuming. And yet you might have somebody else like Courtney, if it's not you yourself, who might charge £10 an hour. And let's assume with travel, it might be 2 hours worth with a bit of petrol, for example. So in this example, it might get 90 quid's worth of income per property per week, and it might cost you 20 quid, and therefore you're 70 quid in profit. Mm. So you can see how services can quite easily build up to, you know, having almost like a menu of options you can provide a letting agent or a landlord, where you can actually get paid for some of that work.
Yeah, for sure. I think tenant find, definitely. I think that's great. And obviously the management, the inspection aspect as well. I think you can probably even step it up a little bit once you've got those two bits to offering sort of full like lettings and management services, which will include, you know, getting contractors involved as well. If there's an issue with the property, obviously organizing the cleaning, that sort of stuff as well. And, you know, then I would imagine that you venture into sort of charging a bit more of a commission rather than a fixed sort of fee, depending on the income of the property. So it's a standard sort of letting agent, property management type model in that respect. And one of the other things that I've been thinking about, which is, offering like a bit more of a community service as well, right? So you find the tenant, cool. You get them checked in, you get all the checks done. That's great. You obviously have the property management aspect of it, which is, you know, doing the inspections and arranging the contractors and all that kind of stuff. But actually, you know, there are then sort of additional services that I've been thinking about in terms of like fostering the people that are in the house to encourage them to stay for longer, right? So you could then start to package up a service whereby, you know, you're offering Netflix and you're offering perhaps, you know, a get together every 3 months or 6 months, something like that. Something relatively, which is relatively easy to manage and relatively low cost. Or you can offer, you know, tag in additional services like the boo or, you know, gym memberships or taxi service or that kind of thing, which is more like community based, right? And you can offer that as a service to the landlord as well, because although it is going to be an added expense, I think it would make the proposition of moving into that property a lot more attractive. But also, I'd like to think, and this hasn't been tested, it will ensure sort of longevity of your housemates, your customers, your tenants, and increase, I'd like to think, their lifetime value, right? So rather than having someone move in for 6 months, they might stay for 18 months because of all of the additional bits, you know, outside of offering great service, like the added extras. And you can also include stuff like preparing the accommodation guidelines and all the notices and all that kind of thing. And just having that as like a bit more of a premium service or as a standalone thing. And that's something that I'm quite keen on testing just because I think it will work. You know, that co-living right now is like a buzz phrase and it's kind of on the rise. And although, you know, from a rent-to-rent aspect, you only have a certain amount of control in terms of creating the environment. I think that there are certain elements that you can pick up from the co-living theme, which you can implement within your HMO, and that, you know, a lot of it is around service and community. Yeah. So I do think that's something which is there to be explored for sure.
Yeah, I think that's a brilliant idea, Matt. I really do. I mean, we've been using Vaboo, you mentioned. We've been using Vaboo for a while now. We haven't rolled it across all the portfolios. I certainly haven't got it up in the Coventry properties that we have and own. Yeah. But we have used it on the rent-to-rent portfolio in Bedford. Again, it's about that, you know, continuity, people staying with you longer. Yeah. Now, of course, I'm going to get this wrong because I'm not Steve. But if Steve was here, Steve would be able to tell and share with everybody that, you know, in the first 5 years, our average occupancy was X percent and our average duration of people staying was Y.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you what I think they are.
Ballparks, just gives us roundabout figures.
It's certainly not down to the nearest day, I tell you that much. But excuse me. In the first 3 years or so, well, as you said, the average tenant would stay in a property like an HMO across the UK for 6 months, and we were getting just less than double that. So it's about 11 and a half months. Steve could tell you the nearest second an hour, but it was about that. But subsequently, by offering more services, by providing, you know, drinks and a few more sort of get-togethers that we've paid for, we've been able to actually, and other things like Vaboo too, we've been able to push up the average length of occupancy even longer. So well over a year now. Now, again, when Steve gets back, we'll ask him, the first question will be, welcome back, have you cleaned your hands? and what is the average occupancy now? He'll tell you. But little things, you're right, Matt, little things like that make a massive difference. And we've only tried it in a small, relatively small, modest rent-to-rent HMO portfolio in Bedford. Yeah. But I can see this definitely going forward as another option, which you can then monetize.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. And like I say, like, you know, being able to, I guess, walk, if there is a massive objection from the start about rent to rent, then, you know, having these additional tools in your armory, which will, you know, at least enable you to leverage an existing relationship to having that as the endpoint. You know, it is a great opportunity, and also enables you to be a little bit more creative, right? I guess from you know, a financial perspective, you're mitigating quite a bit of risk as well. And the landlord is, you know, mitigating a bit of risk from their perspective as well, because, you know, they're still getting the income from the property, and they, you know, have to pay fixed fees or commission, whatever it is. But obviously you're rated on performance as well. You're, you know, for the tenant fine and for the letting side of stuff. It's just alternate ways to thinking about approaching, you know, landlords and agents to get your foot in the door. You know, a lot of people, and quite rightly so, just say, look, just offer rent to rent straight away. But I think, you know, if there is a massive objection, just walking through this is you know, crucial and really important.
And as you said, Matt, the we're recording this at the moment from our really nicely branded
studio.
High-tech studio. So we're in our high-tech studios recording this because we're in the current situation, which is completely unprecedented, which we all know, which is COVID-19. So you might be listening to this a couple of months down the road, but we are in lockdown at the moment. And it's periods like this where I think smart property business owners have to react and then potentially pivot their business. And this is now the perfect example of how we are now thinking about how we can pivot our collective HMO businesses. So from a rent-to-rent point of view, as you say, the key thing, and we've been doing, you, me and Steve, have been doing loads of almost like daily HMO Experience podcast bite-sized episodes, sharing some of the things we've been going through as we've been doing it week on week on week during the lockdown period. And one of the key things is looking at cash flow and looking at how to protect your business. So again, if you think about this whole episode, which is in days gone by, or maybe less experienced rent-to-rent operators would say they'd only offer one level of service. One, you know, what's the solution? Well, it's guaranteed rent. That is great for some people. But as you've said, that's not necessarily right for everybody. And there've been some real rogues out there, some really bad operators doing this in the past. Rent-to-rent HMO has been doing it really badly. And they've done a runner, or they've had poor quality service. So the resultant is the people you could be operating with or approaching or marketing right now could be agents and landlords who've been stung by rogues in the past. So it's about, as we've started off this whole episode about good communication, that starts with trying to build trust and rapport and offering a really good level of service. So if you're only offering one solution, which is guaranteed rent to rent, i.e. guaranteed rent, and you haven't got anything else to fall back on, it's very easy for them to say no. But if you are, as an alternative, or in this situation now, pivoting, offering more services, then you've got a menu of options, and they can hopefully, rather than just say no to the guaranteed rent one potentially, they could go, oh, I like, you know, number two on the menu, please. And that's, you know, whatever the fee is for whatever the service, rather than going straight to number five on the menu, which could be your rent-to-rent service. So I think you're right. It means it enables you to not only protect your position, your business, it offers more levels of opportunity to have conversations with agents and landlords. And as you say, we're in a situation now where if you are only doing guaranteed rent using a rent-to-rent HMO business as an example, then you are guaranteeing to pay every single month, even if the rooms are empty, such as in a situation like this, or the market might change or whatever. You are guaranteeing in a contract what you pay each month to the person you're working with, in this case, a landlord or a letting agency. So the risk is absolutely on you. Another option, paying either on a percentage fee or on a fixed fee, is that at least the work you're doing, you get paid for. And if the rooms are empty or the service is not being done, you don't have to guarantee the payout. So I just think it's smart business practice to work with the situation we're currently in, to adapt accordingly. And I know you've been doing this in North London where you are, and as have we in Bedford and elsewhere.
Yeah, have to adapt to the situation. That's part and parcel of being you know, a smaller business as well. You're able to shift and change quite quickly. I just want to pick up on one thing you mentioned, obviously communication. Now, you know, say you've presented an offer, the landlord, the agent, they've agreed on whichever option it is. I think the key thing going forward, once you've overcome that initial, or once you've kicked off that relationship, is obviously to maintain that relationship, right? And that has to be maintained through, you know, good and fairly regular comms with the landlord. Now, we have a process whereby we send out a schedule of conditions every 3 months to the landlord, which just says, you know, hey, Mr. Landlord, these are the inspections that we've done. You know, here's some extracts. These are the cleaning visits that we've done. Here are some pictures of the reports. You know, here are the maintenance issues which have been reported to you and which have either been dealt with or are still ongoing. And these are the maintenance issues or bits and pieces that we've taken care of, which we haven't reported to you because they're our responsibility. Yeah. And that gets sent out at the end of every quarter. So at the end of March, at the end of June, at the end of September and the end of December, all of our landlords will get a report which is about 200 pages long. I very much doubt that they'll read through it, but from, like, you know, you have to think of the landlord as a customer as well, right? They're a client of yours. From a client service perspective, just to have that physical document and for them to see how you're looking after their property, whether it's on, you know, a full like rent to rent basis, or if you're doing the property inspection stuff, or, you know, if you're doing the tenant finder service, like presenting some sort of data and stats, which shows, you know, conversion rates and tenant profiles and where you're advertising and all that kind of stuff. I think, you know, to give them something tangible for them to see how you're performing. And then what we also then do is we follow that with a phone call a week afterwards saying, hey, Mr. or Mrs. Landlord, did you have a look at the report? Have you got any questions? Like, is there anything that we can talk through? You know, any concerns that we can allay right now. And also, by the way, if you know anyone else who would like to benefit from this service, then, like, you know, I'm here to have a chat. So that, like, from a service perspective is massively important. You know, I sort of learned that in practice when I was a lawyer, just because we dealt with a lot of commercial properties. So commercial property managers would always have to produce a schedule of conditions at the end of every lease. So I kind of thought, well, why don't we do that, you know, regularly anyway, so that landlords can see how we're looking after their property. It also then provides a suitable marketing tool as well. Because when you speak with other landlords, you're like, look, this is how we're going to look after your property. This is what we do. You will get four of these a year. I will be contacting you four times a year to speak about stuff other than the roof is leaking or there's a big hole in out the front of the house or whatever the case may be. And that's, like, it's positive communication, right? And that will enable you to have a better relationship so that when something does go wrong, because you've been speaking with them constantly or regularly, you know, the ice has already been broken and it's much easier then to you know, speak honestly and frankly about how to deal with certain situations. As Amy said, we're recording during COVID. You know, I've had conversations with all of our landlords about rent payments. We've managed to renegotiate with one landlord that was, you know, an hour's worth of a Zoom call, and it was great. I mean, she was understanding, you know, and that's all kind of come from building the relationship over time, right? And it's that aspect of it is just as important as, you know, offering different ranges of services, because, you know, landlords will want proof of that you're delivering and what you're able to deliver on. And that kind of helps.
Matt, if Steve was here, again, not wanting to quote him out of context, but Steve would be saying, awesome sauce. That is incredible. Because I think you're right. I think it's the level of service you give customers who are renting out the rooms, whether they're your rooms, you own the property, or of course you're doing rent for HMOs or somebody else's property. But it's absolutely about differentiating how you operate versus everybody else out there. And if they've had a prior bad experience with a client or with a rent rent operator who's gone rogue, as it were, and done a bad service or nicked some money, whatever, things, unfortunately, then you're automatically putting yourself massively above everybody else. You're also doing it from a risk mitigation point of view. Again, if Steve was here, Steve likes to make sure that everything's recorded. So you are recording this document of stuff that you're doing as an element of service. But here's the thing. You've also got a record of if they say to you, for whatever reason in the future, you don't communicate often, you've got a record of all the communication you're doing. What I also loved about what you just said there, and I must admit, we don't do this enough, but what I also loved about it is you're providing amazing service to the people you're working with. But two things can happen there. One is they might have more properties, so therefore you might just be managing one right now. And you just say they haven't got half a dozen or more, so that could be another opportunity there. We always talk about our friend and mentor, Jonathan. You know, he's got a lot of property in London. He might be managing rent-to-rent HMO on one of his, but he might have a whole bunch of others that you could get because you've been proving yourself really well consistently. The second thing is you're asking for referrals. Who else do you know? Again, that's free advertising, and you might get a whole bunch of clients in the back of that, which is a lot more powerful, you know, with the greatest respect. If any of one of us who a landlord doesn't know says, I've got this service, versus one of their mates who's a fellow landlord who says, I've had this great service from this company, I think you should give them a call. That's going to hold a hell of a lot more weight than you know, just some cold marketing. So yeah, I love for that. Sure. Awesome sauce. Definitely.
Awesome sauce.
That's what Steve
tribute to Steve.
Yeah.
Tribute to Steve.
It's him in, you know, in spirit. In spirit. Nothing else.
Yeah, exactly. No, I think that's good. I think, you know, I guess we should end just in the context as we're recording in COVID. I know, as you mentioned, we've been doing live sort of 5 or 6 days a week. You know, we've provided a lot of content there around not just your customer, your housemate, your tenant communication, but also, you know, having those difficult conversations with the landlord, being on top of, you know, your maintenance obligations and making sure that, you know, that you have open and transparent dialogue with your landlord to kind of help, you know, manage the situation as it is. Now, as much as it's been kind of, what's the word I'm looking for?
I don't challenging?
Know. Yeah, it has been challenging. As much as it's a more challenging time right now than it is during normal times, just, you know, what the principles remain the same, whether it's a challenging time or not. I think the communication, the level of communication, the level of service should be consistent throughout. And that I think, you know, we've got a few episodes. If you listen back to the HMO Experience Bite Size Live and also the HMO Experience Live in the first couple that we did when, you know, COVID started to hit, there's a lot of value and useful nuggets in there about how to, you know, manage relationships, not just during times of crisis, but also like putting in good practice for stuff going forward.
Yeah. And we're also doing live Q&As at the same time. So actually answering people's, you know, live questions in those episodes, I think, again, is a really useful experience. So if, as Matt says, and well remembered, Matt, by the way, if you haven't checked them out, go back to all the usual platforms and check out those bite-sized lives. They were really cool.
Yeah, for sure.
And we're going to continue doing them, by the way. So.
Yeah, there's going to be plenty, like daily. They're coming at you. Also, just before we wrap it up, so Steve isn't here for final words. So let's have Jamie's last
1,000 words.
Last comment. Jamie's last comment.
you were trying to think of an alliteration, weren't you?
I know. Like, oh, Jamie's last.
yeah, something. If any of my name was Steve, it'd be so much easier. So my final comment is really this. Think about how you can provide more of a service to people you're either currently working with or going to be operating with in future. Because if you can offer a range of options that financially make sense for you as well as help the other person, in this case, a landlord or letting agent, then you are building your business to be a lot stronger, a lot more robust and resilient, irrespective of what happens in the future. We've talked a lot about differentiating your service. This is another way of differentiating your HMO service when working with more people. The more people you help with, more robust, the more your business will be. I think that's pretty much it, Matt. That was
that's
it.
That's a great final. That's a great last comment. Yes.
Nice.
Yes.
Got it.
So look, guys, if you haven't already joined, make sure you head over to the Property and HMO Forum hosted by the HMO Experience on Facebook. Join the group. There are plenty of people in there continuing the conversation all around HMO, property investing, hints, tips, and hacks. Head over to the HMO Experience Facebook page. Like it. That's where we are currently doing all of our lives, and we'll be posting all of our forthcoming lives as well, as well as the Property and HMO Forum group, as well as YouTube as well. Head over to our YouTube channel and subscribe. We are not currently doing any HMO hacks simply because we are in the process of giving you thousands and thousands of hacks every time we do a live. So make sure you listen back to those. And for now, we will call it a day. The next episode of the podcast, let me just check because we were just planning it before we came on
air. How to systemize.
Episode number 35. Thank you, Jamie. How to systemize your HMO property business. So make sure you tune in for that. Until then, it is going to be goodbye from Jamie.
Goodbye from me.
And goodbye from me. We'll catch you in the next episode.
Bye. See ya.
Hi guys, thanks for tuning into this episode of the HMO Experience Property Podcast. If you enjoyed the episode, we'd really appreciate you hitting the subscribe button to make sure that you get weekly notifications when new episodes are released. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please make sure that you rate and leave us a review. And if you head over to the hmoexperience.co.uk website, you can download a number of free resources, including the 11 steps to building your own successful HMO property business. And you can subscribe to our weekly newsletter. For now, that's it from myself and the team at the HMO Experience. And we look forward to you joining in on the next episode.